is found in verse 39 and 40. So let's read together from John 5 at verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who will accuse you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And then again, it's particularly verse 39, where Jesus Christ says, if you search the scriptures, and you think that in them have eternal life, yet you don't see that it is the scriptures that are bearing witness about me. As far as reading now in John 5, we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you read the Old Testament? And if you do read the Old Testament, what is the purpose? What is the focus? Why should you read the Old Testament? If the New Testament clearly reveals the person and work of Jesus Christ, why do we need the Old Testament at all? Why should we consider these Old Testament books? Well, as you've likely heard before, the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. So how important is it for our understanding of Christ's work to understand the Old Testament? Well, there are almost 300 direct Old Testament quotes found in the New Testament. But even larger than that, the entire framework of the New Testament is set for us in the Old. For example, how will we understand the work of Christ as prophet, priest, and king if we don't understand the works of prophets, priests, and kings? Well, our text from John 5, verse 39 is going to set the stage for us today. Here Jesus says, you read the Old Testament, and yet you don't read of me. You think that in reading the Old Testament, you'll find the way to life, but you don't see how the Old Testament is bearing witness about me. Here Jesus Christ specifically says, the scriptures bear witness about me. But which scriptures is Jesus referring to? Jesus is referring to the Old Testament scriptures, the 39 books of our Old Testament. Jesus is saying, these things are revealing me. They are bearing witness to me, my person, and my work. So Jesus is the lens by which we can clearly understand the Old Testament. Jesus is the culmination of the Old Testament, the fulfillment, the focal point. The Old Testament testifies of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, the point of the Old Testament is look at Jesus. See the coming Christ. Behold the coming Messiah. Indeed, as Colossians 1 says, Jesus is the one through whom the entire creation was made. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all creation as well. So Jesus Christ is testified to in the Old Testament. But Jesus also says in this particular passage in John 5 that you read the Old Testament trying to find the way of life. You think that in reading the Old Testament, you are going to find the way to salvation, and yet you don't see me in the Old Testament. Here Jesus is clearly saying, if you try to interpret and apply the Old Testament apart from Christ, you don't have life. In other words, moralism is not a way to salvation. If you try to read the Old Testament as a moralistic way, do this and you might earn your way to salvation, Jesus is clearly warning against this moralistic teaching. The Old Testament does not give us a way to be saved based on our works outside of Christ. So the Old Testament is pointing us to Christ. It's a bearing witness about Christ, and it is only properly understood and applied in and through Jesus Christ. So without Jesus, the Old Testament doesn't make sense, and it has no power. Jesus is the gravity that holds it together, and he is the engine that drives it to its proper fulfillment. The scriptures bear witness about me, Jesus says in John 5, verse 39. That's our text. The scriptures bear witness about me. Our earlier reading from Luke 24 is where Jesus is walking on the road with his disciples, and he opens the eyes of his disciples, and where does Jesus go? He goes to the Old Testament. Where does Jesus go to reveal his work, the fulfillment for which he came? Well, if you still remember in Luke 24, Jesus opened the eyes of the disciples to see him, to see his work, the necessity of his work. He goes to the law of Moses. That's the first five books of the Old Testament. He goes to the prophets, and then he goes to the Psalms. So here Jesus breaks down the Old Testament to the three sections of the Old Testament. You have the law, the prophets, and the wisdom literature. That's the three sections of the Old Testament. And Jesus says that all three of those sections, the entirety of the Old Testament, is pointing to me. And it's these three sections of the Old Testament that are going to be our 3 points for our sermon this morning. So our theme is this: Jesus Christ reveals himself as the central point and purpose of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ reveals himself as the central point and purpose of the Old Testament. And the application is twofold. First, the application of the sermon is to teach us how to properly read the Old Testament. It's going to give us the glasses by which to understand and to read the Old Testament. That's the first one. And the second application is to move us to rejoice in the works of Jesus Christ, to see how Christ fulfilled all of these promises and prophecies. And the first point, then, we are going to be looking at the books of the law. So our sermon is going to be a little bit different this morning because it's basically a sermon on the entire Old Testament. And we're going to see how Jesus Christ is being revealed in all the books. So our first point looks at the books of the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of the law. Starting in Genesis 1, we have the creation account. John 1 makes very clear that Jesus Christ was present and active in creation. Jesus Christ is the one by whom, through whom, all things have been made. But even as the creation account unfolds, the tree of life in the garden points to the coming work of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation will reveal the work of the tree of life. Indeed, it is the blood of Jesus that would be the fruit by which the nations would be healed. It is from the side of Jesus that healing waters would flow, giving life to all mankind. Genesis chapter 3, the mother promise. The seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. Who is that seed that came forth to crush the devil's head? Indeed, it is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one from whom the scepter would never depart. Jesus is the everlasting king. Indeed, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the promised seed of Abraham. Abraham was told, through your descendants, all nations would be blessed. Who is the one that brings blessings to all nations? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Moving on to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, we find the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb whose blood was shed so that the destroying angel would not go into that particular house. No death would enter the home of someone who was under the shadow, under the protection of the blood of the Passover lamb. Indeed, Jesus Christ calls himself the heavenly manna, the bread set from heaven. As the Israelites were being fed daily with bread, manna, in the wilderness, Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life sent from God himself, that if you eat of me, you will have everlasting life. Moving on to Leviticus. Leviticus, we find the great high priest who would minister to God's people. Leviticus 16. We have the scapegoat ceremony. There is a goat who has the sins placed upon him, and that goat is then driven out into the wilderness, carrying away the sins of God's people. Who is the one who carries away, who lifts up and brings away from the congregation of God's people? That is our Lord and Savior, carrying away the sins of his people. The book of Numbers. God provides water for his thirsty people, water in the wilderness. A cloud, a pillar of fire leads his Israelites, leads God's people day and night, doing a twofold thing, giving direction and protecting from their enemies. And finally, the book of Deuteronomy, we read of a prophet who would rise up, a prophet that would be greater than Moses himself. A prophet who would be raised up from among his brothers, and as Moses said, it is to this prophet that you must listen. Deuteronomy 21. Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the books of the words of the law. Deuteronomy 27. Who is this one who would be cursed? Who would be obedient, deserving no curse, and yet be hung on a tree, suffering the curse for God's people? Clearly Jesus Christ. So already in the first five books of the Old Testament, we have various themes and specific promises that reveal the coming Messiah. Jesus says the same thing, if you still have your Bibles open, in John 5, verse 46. John 5, 46. If you believe what Moses wrote, you would believe about me. Like Moses was writing about me. So if you believe the first five books of the Old Testament, you will believe in Jesus Christ. You cannot understand, you cannot call yourself a person of faith, true and living faith, and not see Jesus Christ in the first five books of the Old Testament. Moses was writing about Jesus. And indeed, John 8 says Abraham longed to see the day of Jesus Christ. Abraham, that prophet, that patriarch of long ago, longed to see the coming of Jesus Christ. So the books of the law speak of the Messiah who would come and remove the curse by the shedding of the blood. The Old Testament patriarchs were saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. They longed for it. They looked forward to it. They saw it coming, and they rejoiced at that coming day. But we must press on. After the first five books of the law, we have the books of the prophets. When we consider the prophets, the most clear way in which we find Jesus Christ is by turning to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is often called the Old Testament gospel. We find many clear references to the coming work and person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, which many of us will remember, talks about the suffering servant. The suffering servant who, by his stripes, we will be healed. He will be a man of sorrow, one from whom people hide their face. He carries our burdens, bears our sins, and will make many to be accounted as righteous. Here we find the doctrine of justification and that Jesus Christ is going to suffer for our sins placed on his shoulders. He suffers, is wounded, is beaten, is bruised, and afflicted, and by his suffering we have life, righteousness, healing, and peace. So that's what Isaiah 53 reveals, and additionally, Isaiah reveals his name. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 11, a branch will shoot up from the stump of Jesse, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Isaiah 7, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. A few more examples from the prophets. The sign of Jonah will be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. As Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, so Jesus Christ will be in the tomb for 3 days. Daniel, the book of Daniel. Daniel speaks of a rock that is not cut by human hands. This rock that comes out of the mountain will grow and it will burst and destroy the kingdoms of this world and will continue to grow until it covers the entire world. That is speaking of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who is established not by man, but sent from God himself, crushing the kingdoms of this world until his rule is from sea to sea. After Daniel, we read of Micah. Micah says that this promised child will be born in Bethlehem. Zechariah speaks of a lowly, gentle king who will ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. This same king will be pierced by the hands of men. Haggai says that when this king comes, he will be the desire of the nations. And finally, Malachi 4, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healings in his wings. These beautiful promises and prophecies give us a picture of who Jesus Christ is, and when they are brought together, we find a fuller and clearer picture. Indeed, as Matthew, this is Matthew 13, verse 17, Jesus says the prophets longed to see the day when Jesus would come. Indeed, the prophets longed to see what the disciples themselves were seeing. So in Matthew 13, we find that the prophets were longing, were desiring, were eagerly looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ would come. And then 1 Peter 1, verse 12, these prophets were writing for our benefit. The prophets were writing not just to serve themselves, they were writing for the good of the New Testament church. Their writings are for your benefit, for my benefit, for our blessing. They wrote to add color and depth, to add to the good news that is now being proclaimed in our midst. Such are the blessings that we have in looking back at the Old Testament, seeing Jesus Christ with greater clarity, and the meaning and purpose of these words are clearer to us, made better known to us now than even the prophets who wrote them. As Acts 3, verse 18 summarizes, what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, specifically that Christ would suffer, thus he fulfills. Therefore, Peter says, repent that your sins may be blotted out. So the prophets add their voice and testimony, further revealing that Jesus Christ would come, how he would be born, where he would be raised, how he would suffer, and how he would die for the sake of his people. And yet there is one more section, one more division of the Old Testament. The third section of the Old Testament is the books of the wisdom literature. Luke says the Psalms, prominent here are the Psalms. When you read the Psalms, we clearly find these things. We find Jesus Christ visible, we find his words manifest, and we have the response of God's people to the coming of this Messiah. So Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Who is this blessed man that does not walk in the way of the wicked or sit in the seat of mocker? Who is this blessed man that delights in the law of the Lord day and night? That blessed man is Jesus Christ, the one through whom our blessings are received. Psalm 2, there is a son sitting at the Father's right hand. This son is a king. You must submit to this king. Kiss the son, lest you be terrified and he visit you in a time of wrath. Psalm 110. This same king sits at the Father's right hand, a king who rules over all, enemies being placed in subjection under him. And added to this kingship, this king is also a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is this prophet, priest, and king. Perhaps the most well-known, Psalm 23, speaks of a good shepherd who leads his people in paths of righteousness. So many psalms clearly reveal the office that Jesus Christ will fulfill, but it also reveals his words. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus speaks these very words from the cross being crucified. In addition to the Psalms, we have Proverbs, the wisdom made evident in the works and words of Jesus. Wisdom incarnate. Jesus is the one through whom wisdom comes, through which truth is found. Jesus is the greatest son of David, and even as Matthew 12 says, someone greater than Solomon has come. So when we think of Solomon, we think of the wisest man who ever lived, and Jesus says, I am greater than Solomon himself, who wrote many of these wisdom literature. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. How about the Song of Solomon? Jesus Christ is revealed as the groom who lovingly engages and prepares his bride for the wedding day, rejoicing with love over his people. That's Jesus Christ's marriage to the church. And Ecclesiastes, Jesus is the meaning of life. Apart from Jesus Christ, everything is vanity, meaningless, and a chasing after the wind. But in Christ, everything has purpose. Our life has purpose. Even as Hebrews 1 begins, in the past, God spoke in various ways and at various times by the prophets. But in these last days, God speaks to us by way of his Son, who is the heir of all things. And then John 5, verse 38, we read it earlier, God's word abides in you if you believe the one that God sent. As we close, the Old Testament is given to us as a rich resource from which gems can continue to be mined today. The Old Testament is revealing Christ, is revealing the need for Christ, is revealing the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the words of Christ. In these books, you have promises to which Jesus is the answer. You have types and patterns, like the various ceremonies and sacrifices, which are all revealed in Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment. We could compare the Old Testament like an engagement ring, with the New Testament being the wedding band. United, the Old Testament and New Testament together assure us of God's love and our welcome into his home. Searching the scriptures and not seeing Christ is like looking at the mirror and not seeing your own face. The whole reason we have the Old Testament is to see Christ. Without the Old Testament, without Jesus Christ, the Old Testament is just a bunch of stories that have no purpose and no power. No purpose and no power. But Jesus Christ is the purpose and the power in the Old Testament. In Christ, the scriptures reveal our need for and gift of our salvation. So Jesus Christ reveals himself to be the central point and purpose of the Old Testament. So when we read the Old Testament, let us not neglect such a great salvation he revealed. Let us learn to see Christ, for these words bear witness about him, and in him we have light and everlasting life. Amen.